Thank you for joining us today on Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. Joining me today to answer your gardening questions, two familiar voices. Bob Graves is a horticulturalist and co-owner of Fadigan's Nursery in Latham, New York. He has also been an avid hands-in-the-dirt gardener for 40 years. Fred Breglia is director of horticulture and operations at the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York. Your calls are welcome. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number to call, 800-348-2551. Thank you both for coming in today.
It's great to be back.
It's been a long, hot, dry summer.
Oh, boy.
And other than watering, what can you do to help the plants and the trees survive this stuff?
Water conservation is the key. So anything you can do with water conservation. Now, watering is one step, but if it's just drying right out really rapidly, mm-hmm. that's not going to be the best thing either. So surface mulching, mulch wide, not high. A lot of times people tend to put a lot of mulch around the stems of plants, woody plants, trees, shrubs. And the real surface roots that are really feeding those plants actually stretch out to kind of double the canopy spread. So they're out there a ways. So we encourage people to put 2 inches of mulch, 2.5 inches of mulch, and spread it out beyond the drip line and not around the stems. We don't want to look at that volcano kind of mulching, but wide surface mulching will help to conserve water, for water. Sure. It'll improve your soil as well.
Choose your battles, too. I mean, if you've got newly planted things or things that were planted last year, water those. Don't worry about the lawn. Lawn's going to dry up, turn brown, but it'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't water the lawn, you'll survive.
Yeah, that's
right.
But
if you got newly planted things, boy, you got to not let them dry out.
What's more susceptible to the heat, the fruit trees, bushes, shrubs? What's under the most danger?
Well, anything that is a very drought-tolerant plant, like a crabapple and hawthorns, tend to be more, they're tough. They can take tougher soils. They're used to some, kind of heavy type compaction issues sometimes, and they can certainly tolerate drought. So things like that are going to be more tolerant of the drought, but things that like a little more water.
The things that really get hurt this time of year that we see are flowering things.
Yeah.
Things that are under maximum stress now. Hydrangeas, for example, just really wilt in this heat. So if you got things that are, whenever a plant's actively growing, actively putting out flowers, then that's when it's most susceptible.
Is there a best time of the day to water? I've heard evening. Not during the middle of the day because it'll just burn the plants, or is that a myth?
The best time is early in the morning.
Yeah, that's what we say.
You'd rather that things not be wet all night. You don't want the grass wet all night. You don't want the leaves of things wet all night because it encourages fungal problems.
Right.
So water early in the morning and it dries out, and then you don't have those issues.
800-348-2555. The calls are rolling in, and Helene in Ashfield, you've got problems with your walnut tree. Hello, Helene?
Hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's actually a chestnut tree, not a walnut tree.
All right. Go right ahead.
And it's been in the ground for about 3 years, and it's been growing rapidly, and it looks beautiful. And this year, directly down the middle of it, only half of it got leaves.
Half of your tree, not from like the top part, you're talking about like more a side of the tree has got leaves and another side does not.
Exactly. One side has leaves and one side does not.
Okay. Well, and you never saw it before. It was always leafed out all around up till this year, correct?
Correct.
Yep. Well, that usually mm-hmm. indicates that there's some kind of a root issue. It could be that a root got damaged. It could also be a trunk vascular issue.
Yeah,
so in other words,
this winter we had a lot of vascular issues.
A lot of vascular issues, yep. Yeah. So it might be some trunk damage on the trunk. You could inspect that trunk to look close, and sort of see if you see any kind of damage, any kind of decline.
So it wouldn't have to do with, like, the late frost that we had that affected apples and peaches?
It had to do with temperature fluctuation, but if it's on the south side of the tree, it could be that on a really cold winter's day, that south side heated up, and then at sundown, the vascular system can't rid itself of water quickly enough, and it's actually like a bunch of pipes that freeze. So my guess is that you got some damaged plumbing, essentially.
That's exactly what I'm thinking as well.
Is it likely to come back?
No. Well, the part that's dead is not going to come back.
No.
At this point, if it has no leaves, you could prune off the dead. You know, make sure you're looking to do good pruning cuts. And ideally, if it's a younger tree, which it sounds like, you know, 3 years, that's not an old tree, that's a younger tree. Those trees have abilities to, you know, you get rid of the dead wood and you don't have any more damage, then the trees, the parts that are alive could sort of start to grow to fill in those areas, especially with a little bit of corrective pruning. I think that, you know, you might be able to get
okay.
this tree to...
Okay, it is 25 feet tall.
Oh, okay, wow. Well, that's a good size,
that's
boy.
That's a good size tree.
Yep, and then look for the, you know, look at the yeah. damage on the trunk, and also future to prevent that. In the wintertime, you could actually wrap the trunks and just to protect them for the winter damage, like we're talking about. You got to make sure you take that stuff off in the spring.
When
you, it'll go on in the fall. And
when you wrap them, what you're trying to do is keep the sun off of them so they don't heat up in the wintertime.
That's right. It does. The trees don't mind solid cold. In fact, if it stayed cold, they would be fine. The fluctuation is what really gets them. And it's just like what Bob said, it's like frozen pipes. And if that water can't get back out of there and heats kind of up and then it freezes, it's going to break the pipe walls. In this case, it's xylem, phloem, cambium, and our conductive tissue, which is our veins and arteries of the trees. So, but if it's got half...
So the tree could still... Sorry.
Yeah, if you still have half of the tree alive and it's been like that and maintaining it this summer, then what happens is the part of the vascular system that was feeding the part that's dead, that's not working anymore, but the part that's functioning has selected the branches to compensate for that. So I do think you'll be able to, you know, probably maintain what's there, and if you don't see it declining anymore, we could start to actually fix that and start to try to grow branches and train them over to fill that void.
Okay.
A little fertilizer, too, in the spring prior to bud break would help.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551. Gardening Today on Vox Pop. Bill in New Paltz. Go ahead, Bill.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good.
Oh, okay. I was calling. My problem is I have hydrangea plants and I have deer. And they have managed to take all the flowers. I have two that were really big. They were really looking good. And I kept watching the flowers, and they come in, and they're green, and then they finally turn white. And when they were green and everything, they left them alone. When they turned white, if I wasn't there, well, I've lost all of them, basically. I mean, they've taken the plant out. So I'm trying to figure out what's the best way, one, when's the best time to cut the flowers if you want to dry them and save them? And how do I keep the deer? Is there anything that will help me keep the deer off?
Yeah, there's lots of deer repellents, and they do work, but sometimes you have to try a couple different formulations. You know, there's hot pepper formulations, there's rotten egg and garlic formulations, there's some that are peppermint or clove oil, things of that sort. So you try something, and if that doesn't work, you try something else, because there are repellents that work.
I tried the pepper.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think that sort of worked, but it rained, and maybe I missed it.
Well, that's the hard part, is keeping up with it. Yep.
Yeah, with those kind of homemade deer repellents, which again do work, their effectiveness is definitely decreased majorly after a rain. And even if it's not raining, I'd say you put them on a kind of a program every week, every 2 weeks, you just go back out and spray. I've had also decent luck with just dog hair. If you have a dog that sheds, if you need dog hair, by all means, get in touch with me after the show. I've got a yellow lab, so I can provide a whole bag of this dog hair. But yeah, dog hair just wrapped around and draped around, certainly. They don't like the smell of that, but if they are smart animals, so if they start to realize that you don't have a dog there, they might learn that little trick too. But
they do seem to get around and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I can keep them off the plant while it's flowering, when is the best time to cut them so that you can, you know, have the dried hydrangeas?
Annabelle's. Yeah, once they're in full flower, but before they start to deteriorate, you know, you don't want them to start to turn all brown and ugly before you cut them. And you just watch them, and it's not real critical, you know, which day, but you watch them and see.
Okay.
Well, good luck.
Thank you very much for calling. This is Vox Pop on WAMC. More calls in a moment.
Comes from Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, presenting the annual Arts and Crafts Festival featuring regional handmade arts and crafts including jewelry, clothing, pottery, baskets, soaps, and more. August 27th, 10 to 3, SchenectadyHistorical.org. Landis Arboretum, Esperance, New York, offering plant collections, hiking trails, old growth forest, concerts, classes, and more. LandisArboretum.com. And the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.Kendall.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, and if you enjoy running in this kind of heat, Fred has a race for you.
Yeah, so actually at the Arboretum, our big event that's coming up is our 10th perennial 5K Forest Run, scheduled for Saturday, August 13th. And that's the 10th year that we've been doing these 5Ks. And if you've never run it before, I'd like to say, of course I'm biased, it is one of the most attractive and probably one of the most challenging 5Ks around. You run from old growth forest through vistas with incredible views and trees and shrubs from all over the world, as well as a complete native plant trail. And you get to kind of take this all in, if you can breathe, along your race. And the day is August 13th. The website, LandisArboretum.org, has all of our info. We do give prizes to all different age categories, including male and female overall. And registration starts at 7:30 on August 13th, and the race will start at 9 a.m. sharp. It includes a T-shirt for the first about 90 people signed up.
You look like you're a runner. Do you run in this?
We do run that race, yeah. We have a team event as well, and we sort of bring in Team Landis, all the workers, all the staff, try to enter, and we've been after this one rival team. Every year we lose by a few seconds, but we're pretty confident this year we got them. So, Team Landis.
Mark in Salem. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, I have a problem somewhat similar to your first caller, only involves a black locust, two of them. Lower part of the, and these are trees that were volunteers, but they're about 25 years old and quite tall. They're taller than the house, and maybe 18 inches max in diameter. One side of the lower part of the tree, on both trees, has lost its bark completely, as if something had hit it, and it's not possible because there's a picket fence in front of it, so nothing actually hit it. And the dieback is sort of scattered throughout the tree. And I've never seen anything like it before. Locust is a pretty hardy tree. I'm up in Salem, so it's you know, not a zone, yeah. You know, before. Yeah. We didn't have a lot of snow last winter, so I don't think it was salt from the road. And it's about maybe 12-inch wide by 2 foot long section of bark on both trees that has just completely just fallen off, sloughed off.
How far up the tree is?
Right near the base.
Near the bottom of the tree.
Yeah, yep. But the right where, just above where the roots come together to make the, you know, the stem.
Okay.
And I don't see any evidence of any critters or insects or anything. It's just that the bark has come right off, and then of course the leaves above that kind of scattered dieback. And I can't figure out what could have caused it.
If it's down low, my first guess would be that maybe, I don't know if you have a lawn service or if you do this lawn yourself.
No, it's not actually the house had burned and many years ago, and we were rebuilding it, so the front yard is sort of returned to nature, and it's fairly nobody's girdled it with anything.
So no mowers around that tree?
No
mowers. Okay, well, certainly down low, basal injuries are almost always mechanical. In other words, it takes some kind of hit. Now, what exactly hit it or caused it, it's hard to say. You got to kind of be a detective.
Sometimes you see deer rub, or you see bear scratching.
Well, this is in the front yard, and it's on a corner, and it's behind a picket fence that's pretty closely spaced picket.
I have no idea.
And it wouldn't be the same thing that we had talked about with the other lady, which would be this, like, sun scald or winter frost cracking type damage. That is definitely not the case with you because, A, the bark of the locust is very thick usually and more protected.
Yeah, that's
and
what I mean. It's just like,
yeah, it wouldn't be right down to the base. So basal injuries, like I say, usually are hard for trees to overcome. And even if it's a small basal injury, sometimes those could actually spread upward because the tree is trying to close.
One of the trees looks like it's been hit. And, yeah, it hasn't been because they would have had to go through the fence to hit it.
It's not a lightning strike. You don't have anything coming
down. Well, that's what I thought it might have been, but I don't see any evidence of it further up the stem. And it's two trees. There's about six in the yard around the fence, and they were all sort of volunteers. You know, one of them's almost 3 feet in diameter.
For what it's worth,
I've never had a problem before, and that's just showed up this spring. And I thought, what is this?
It's not a great tree either. If you decide that you need to get it out of there, if it doesn't look good, you know, it's kind of a messy, twiggy sort of a thing. So
I like them because you can grow things underneath them.
That's true. And it probably will overcome that injury. Most of what is there green now, I don't think it's not going to get much worse. I don't think the injury is going to get worse. I do think that it was caused by something hitting it. I don't know what could have been. Maybe the construction. You said you were rebuilding some stuff. Some stuff burned. My guess is during that time, maybe something was put up against the tree. Maybe contractors got in there and just banged it. It doesn't take a hard bang to create a decline, and you wouldn't notice it right away. It would have to be 2-3 years before the bark started to fluff off or come off. So, you know, exactly what caused the damage, we don't know, but it's not a natural thing. It's most likely guaranteed some type of mechanical injury hit. Not hard to say exactly what caused it.
Vox Pop on WAMC, Harriet in Fleischmann's.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about hydrangeas. Uh-huh. I love them, and I have several plants, and only one will grow flowers, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
They're probably the macrophylla types, right? The flowers are pink or bluish in color?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Now, some of those different types, the flower buds are not very hardy for over the winter, but what you want to try, what we're finding in the last few years with a lot of these new macrophylla types is you got to fertilize them a lot more than we thought because they have to reach a certain size before they'll rebloom. So mine, for example, die right to the ground. They're absolutely nothing there in the spring. I cut them right off. They come up, but they don't flower till late, and I have to fertilize them, you know, almost every 2 weeks to really get them to bloom. So you're going to want to use a high nitrogen like a dried blood or something of that sort or a liquid feed, done, and make sure you water them well. It's a question of the trying to get some size back so they'll bloom for you.
Is it too late to do that now?
Yeah, it's getting late. I'd try it. You know, they may bloom late. They may bloom in the latter part of September, which is possible too. Yeah.
Thank you. I will try it.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. An email from Stephen. I have some bee balm flowers on the edge of my yard. The petals are falling off, and I want to collect seeds from the plants. Where the petals were attached, it doesn't look like there are any seeds present. How can I tell when the flower has seeds, and what do they look like? Bee balm seeds.
Well, you know, typically the seed heads will dry. The petals will fall off, and it's going to leave the center part of that flower attached. It'll just be like a sort of a knob, and you want to just let that dry. You want to replicate what's going to happen in nature.
It's
going to dry on a stem. It's going to eventually dry to the point where it starts to deteriorate and rot. Those seeds are going to fall into the ground. They're going to germinate and probably try to regrow.
You got
to
give them a little time.
But you got to give them some time. Yeah. But don't go too fast. You want to let the seed ripen. But if it's dried, and you can, the general, a lot of times people say if you can break the head off, kind of clean snap, it's certainly dry enough, and you're ready to go. Yeah.
Chris in Albany, go ahead.
Chris?
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yes, how can we help?
Hi there. Yes, I have about 12 arborvitaes. They've been with us for about 6 years. And this spring, I saw a lot of the burning at the bottom. I did look into it and read somewhere that it could possibly be an insect of some sort. And I don't know what to do about it because they're all the same. And even on the other side, which is away from my home, they're even more burnt.
Yeah, they're just generally brown from kind of top to bottom.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all from winter.
No, just on the bottom from the grass up for the first 12 inches. The rest is all green.
Was it ever
I was thinking.
Was any of it ever
brown? No, they never were burnt before.
Oh,
so no.
Only that bottom part. Okay.
We saw a lot of winter burn, but there is an insect, and it's arborvitae leaf miner.
Yep.
And it usually will grow on, it'll develop on the shadier, often on the lower parts. So if that's the shadier lower part, it could be leaf miner. It looks just like winter damage.
It does.
Exactly like it.
Yeah, one way to tell, and if you got like a magnifying glass, leaf miner will tunnel through the little arborvitae foliage, and when it comes out, he's tunneling out eventually, he leaves an exit hole at the tips of the little arborvitae foliage. Kind of hard to see without probably a small hand lens or magnifier, but if you looked at the tips of the ones where they're brown, and it is a leaf miner, you should see an exit hole, an actual hole, where you see a lot of them that are kind of closed up, and all of a sudden, oop, there's a definite hole or dozen holes. And if that's the case, then
how do I treat that?
I think it's you have to spray that in the spring, if I'm not mistaken, early.
I believe
you're
right.
Like late winter.
Yeah, and that is a spray that has to get that critter out. Oils, it's hard to really control them because they're inside, so you need something systemic so that way when they eat that foliage, those little leaf miners will die. Left unchecked, the leaf miner
can be a lot of damage.
The
most common chemical for that is called acephate. It's sold under several trade names, but acephate is what you're looking for.
But try to ID those little holes.
Acephate, A-C-E-P-H-A-T-E.
Yep. And then look for the little holes if you can, so that way, or bring them to a cooperative extension if you can't. Yeah. But you should see them. They should be pretty obvious. They are going to be really small. It's a small insect. But you know, I always say, make sure you know what it is before we just put down something. Because it could be winter injury. That's your two options. But winter injury would be more, I would tend to think, further up that tree and not so much concentrated on the bottom.
You know, the other thing, if it hadn't happened in the spring, I'd say, gee, you had some weed killer damage down at the bottom.
I would say
but if it showed up in the spring, no.
That's what I thought, perhaps, too. Perhaps from my person who does the lawn, they got it too close to those.
But that's a very, very obvious thing. I mean, if somebody came in and sprayed and 3 or 4 or 5 days later it was brown down at the base, it wouldn't show up weeks later. It would be real quick. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Fox Pop on WAMC. Let's talk to Sandra in Boston Spa. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hi. First, I apologize for the connection.
It's okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure. We can hear you.
Okay, wonderful. I have asked a few people, and I haven't gotten an answer that's helped yet. I'm really hopeful. I have a couple of tomato plants that when I planted tomato plants in the same location last year, they were really fruitful. They were wonderful. And I tried this year, and although they grew some tomatoes, all the leaves turned yellow with brown spots and fell off. There are literally no leaves left on the plant, but yet still the tomatoes are growing a little bit. It's bizarre.
Well, you know, one of the things that I always mention with tomatoes, are they in pots or in the ground?
No, they're in the ground.
In the ground. Tomatoes like consistent moisture. They do not like it when they get dry and then they get wet and then they get dry and then they get wet. They like consistent moisture. They don't mind the heat, but you got to be real careful with your watering in a year like this. I mean, this is extreme. It almost like we're in Phoenix, Arizona with this weather. It's really, really dry. Now, having said that, we've also had a lot of humid weather. Obviously, not a lot of rain, but a lot of humid weather, which will encourage some fungal diseases. So you probably have a combination of things going on. But I'd be very suspicious that they got maybe a bit dry at some point.
Do you?
That's possible, but my potted tomatoes are doing great, and I actually had taken one of those plants out earlier in the season and put it into a pot, but the two that I left behind are just so sad.
Do you water them in the morning, afternoon? Do you get when you do water them, are you using an overhead irrigation as opposed to like a drip irrigation?
I water them in the morning and then when I get home from work, and I always water at the base.
So you're not getting the foliage wet?
No.
That's good. That's exactly what you want to do. You know, it's with the spots and the yellowing, I would tend to think you might be, like Bob said, probably a combination of drought and fungus.
You know, if you're in Boston Spa, you're real close to the Cooperative Extension Office for Saratoga County. You might want to grab one of those plants and take it into them.
Okay.
And don't compost it, because if it is fungal, some of those spores can overwinter. So if you are cutting that stuff away, try to get it out of a compost. Normally, I would say compost things, but not diseased plant parts. And spots, yellowing, definitely fungal.
Suspicious.
Sounds fungal, so you definitely probably have some fungal in there. Throw those leaves away.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
you got it. Good luck.
Thank you very much for calling. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. We're talking gardening and plants today. Fred Breglia is the Director of Horticulture and Operations at the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York. Bob Graves is a horticulturalist and co-owner of Fatigan's Nursery in Latham, New York. 800-348-2551. Vince in Livingston. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Vince.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was hoping you could solve a mystery for me. I always like to keep trees growing in my yard, and there is this singular spot feet away from healthy trees that are growing magnificently, and nothing that I put in this particular spot ever survives. Well, you know, I'm always replacing the plant in this spot, and yet a few feet away, I got healthy plants growing.
How big of a spot do you think it is?
I'm talking maybe 2 feet square.
Yep. And nothing, not grass grows there or no? Even grass?
Grass will grow. Grass will grow, I guess. I'm taking plants in and out of this spot. And so, you know, I don't really pay attention whether the grass gets back in or not.
Yep. And everything else you seem to plant seems to live. Everywhere else you plant it, correct?
Yeah. Just a few feet away. I've got trees that have grown to 6 feet high, 7 feet high.
The times that I've seen that kind of thing is when there's been some kind of
something
nasty in the soil. Like, let's say somebody changed a lawnmower oil at one point way back, or something leaked, dropped in. There's the residual on oil is real long
there's
period
of time.
Something
toxic there.
But it sounds like if it's that small, that's why I ask you how big of a spot. We're talking a couple of feet by a couple of feet. That's a toxin most likely in the soil. Could be oil.
We've even found buried paint cans or construction debris or something there. The best bet's to dig all of that out if you can and just replace it.
That's exactly it. Yeah, I'd say excavate the spot in the size that you think and then a little bit extra. And, you know, usually the plant roots don't go more than 12 inches down. You know, big trees would have more than that. But, you know, 12 inches down should be good. And if you went to 12 inches, 14 inches, and then, you know, a little bit more on the sides and got rid of that soil, don't use it, dump it, fill it up with some new topsoil, I bet you'd probably have some pretty good luck.
800-348-2551. Michael in Sparrowbush. Michael.
Hi. I have two questions. The first is about chipmunks. There seems to have been a bumper crop of them.
Yeah.
This year, and they're digging holes throughout my garden and digging everything up. Is there anything I can do about them short of a gun?
Well, there's lots of repellents that you can sprinkle around. Have a heart trap. I mean, we use have a heart traps all the time. We just catch them constantly. You have to relocate them a distance, though, because one year we caught a bunch of them and we painted their tails, and we took them 2 or 3 miles away and they came back.
Oh, my goodness.
So you got to move.
Really?
Yeah, but there are repellents. Really? Cayenne pepper certainly is one thing to do it.
But we were remarking just a few minutes ago when we were off air that there's an awful lot of furry creatures out there this year, voles and moles and chipmunks and squirrels, and we think maybe it's the mild winter that allowed them to reproduce.
Yeah, maybe a lot of them just all, you know, a lot of the babies, a lot of the young there's wouldn't have survived, but they all kind of made it through with the really mild winters, and, you know, certainly.
That's what I figured. It was a mild winter, and so there's. There's a lot of them. My other question is, I discovered after making my garden that it had formerly been a place where coal from an old coal stove was dumped. And there was a lot of mulch on top of it, and things seemed to be growing. But I'm just wondering if that coal and coal ash is bad for plants.
It's mostly
flowers.
It's actually coal cinders like that are not a bad medium to grow things in because it's very well drained. It's sterile, essentially. And I've seen things grow pretty well in that. Yeah,
I have too. I've seen patches where we have, even at our own house, we have, people must have had a cold stove and you dump it in. I put a whole new lawn over top of that area, and my wife put a little perennial bed there as well. So, and it seems to be growing really well. In fact, everything's taken right off. The good thing about it seems that coal is that, like Bob said, it's kind of more neutral, or it doesn't seem to create a lot of issues. So
very good drainage.
I think you'd be okay with it. Yep.
Okay. And actual pieces of coal themselves are okay in there.
Yeah, you're not eating the stuff anyways, right? You're just, it's more ornamental.
No, just yeah, it's flower garden.
Yeah, and you can increase the, you know, the level of organics, because although coal is an organic, it doesn't act like the same as a lot of other.
It's basically inert.
Adding a little organic, even on a surface, will help get down in there in a vertical action. So top dressing with compost, that's going to help that soil. That'll help almost any soil, any plant. So it's not a bad thing to do. But I think you're okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for calling. More calls on Vox Pop in just one moment.
Support comes from Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Circus Circus, the Beechnut Miniature Circus Exhibition, alongside paintings by John Corbino, Norman Rockwell, and more. ArkellMuseum.org. The University at Albany Theater Program, working to train the next generation of performers, designers, technicians, playwrights, and stage managers. Albany.edu/theater. Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, specializing in extra-sharp New York cheddar since 1923, offering imported and domestic specialty cheeses, nostalgic candies, and more. WaterwheelVillage.com. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation since 1996. Surgeon's hands, a woman's touch. CAPEKplasticsurgery.com. Adams Ferriker Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Trees, shrubs, blooming perennials, Adams-grown annuals and bedding plants, gardening supplies, and advice. AdamsFarms.com. And the Wild Center, announcing the new Wild Walk, a higher view of the natural world with 1,000 feet of elevated bridges. WildCenter.org for details.
800-348-2551. Bob Graves is a horticulturalist and co-owner of Fadigan's in Latham. He's been an avid hands-in-the-dirt gardener for 40 years. Fred Breglia, director of horticulture and operations at the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York. They're here to answer your questions about plants and growing things. Let's see. David in Pittsfield, go ahead.
Hello. How is everybody today?
Fantastic.
Good, David.
I've got this maple tree, silver maple, I believe, an adult tree between my house and my neighbor's. Been there for a while. Suddenly, this spring, started to bud out to form leaves, and then went, like, instantly dead.
Instantly dead.
What the heck?
The whole tree?
Whole tree. You could see a few little leaves on one of the branches that started, and you could see the buds on the other branches, and it was just like, you flip the switch, dead.
How big of a trunk do you think that guy's got?
How big of a trunk? Let me look out the window. I'll tell you, it's probably in diameter 2 feet.
Okay.
It's not an old tree, but it's not a little. It's a puzzle.
Sounds like it might be Verticillium, you think?
Have full, perfect leaves last year?
Yeah, everything seemed to be fine.
When the leaves went, did they wilt?
This winter?
You never actually saw any leaves come out.
There was a few little leaves on one branch. You could see a few little started. You could see buds on other branches that never budded out. I mean, it never came in. It started, but it's like a switch.
So in the fall, as best your knowledge, this thing had full leaves and it fell off in a normal way.
Everything seemed to be fine. Yeah.
Anything happen construction wise around a tree? Any kind
not
of work?
Not this year.
No. How many years ago?
Well, maybe a little over a year ago, my neighbor put in a new resurfaced his driveway.
That's close to the tree. Let me tell you how this typically works. Construction damage. Typically, will take anywhere from, depending on how severe it is, at least 1 year to show up, and sometimes as much as 5.
Yeah.
But typically 2 to 3, you'll start to see some major, and if it's major damage, it's going to go real fast. The fact that it leafed out means it would just be leafing out through stored energy, and the fact that it didn't ever continue makes me think that it had sustained some type of damage.
Any change in grade, if you raise the grade or you change the
plant? No, it just with soil's well drained. It wasn't an aggressive driveway that he put in.
Okay. That's pretty suspicious, though, that you had that happen and then
it's near that. That's true.
Yeah, that's pretty suspicious.
Yeah, and if there was any kind of chemical that could get in there from the driveway, then that would be another factor. But typically a tree just doesn't up and die like that without giving you some warning. So my guess is that something had occurred, kind of damage. And a lot of times a tree will go to sleep in the fall looking okay to a lot of people, even though maybe it showed signs, like subtle signs of stress. And if it doesn't have enough stored energy or it's really weak because it is declining, in the fall you're not really going to notice a huge decline because the leaves are falling off anyway. So anything going on in the fall is going to be really hard to detect. But the fact that it seems to have gone so quickly, that makes me think that there's definitely some type of damage that occurred. It may be from the driveway, it may be from something else, but
at this point, it's gone. It's not coming back.
It's not coming back.
Somebody said, "Oh, it might come back."
No.
Somebody
they don't skip a year.
Trees that, well, it might come back next year.
Yeah, nope. The reason why it won't is because of a simple thing. The tree leaves out in the spring, not through photosynthesis, but through stored energy only. And it needs to have the photosynthesis occurring all summer long to get enough energy together to be able to store that through a winter and then use that stored energy to put out a whole new leaf set. Yeah. And if you don't have any photosynthesis happening now, there's no way that tree will have enough stored energy to leaf out. So even if a little part of it's still alive, it's not going to
get it down before it starts to fall down.
That's what I would recommend, and then just replace it.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. We have a message from Twitter. Justin wants to know about suggestions on endangered wildflowers to plant in the Catskills. He wants to plant something in the Catskills. In fact, it's an endangered wildflower. Any ideas?
He's looking to plant endangered wildflowers?
I guess so, yeah.
Hmm.
It's the same as I would say if you wanted to plant pretty much any wildflower, which is pretty, I don't know if he's looking to do a field type of setting, but I'll just go through what I kind of done at the Arboretum. We brush hog areas where we'd like to establish wildflowers. So we'll brush hog them late season though, because there's a lot of little ground nesting birds like bobolinks and things. So we don't want to hurt none of the little critters. And it's also easier for the brush hogs to just, kind of whack it back in the fall. So fall, we'll kind of like the time when you would start to sow seeds, when a lot of these wildflowers would be putting out seed heads and they would be falling naturally. We mow it all down real low, and that helps to give them room to establish themselves. And then we'll just go out and overseed. And in fact, there's been a lot of tours this year and visitors selling us, "Wow, how do you get all these wildflowers established at the Arboretum in the fields and in the meadows? And a lot of work you guys put in, not really, you just kind of brush hog in the fall and sow them out that way. But if it's rare, I don't think you're going to be broadcasting seed by the buckets, which means to me, I would like to see, if it was a rare plant, I would like to actually start those in probably containers and then put out actually potted plants in terms of they've got roots, they're well established, they're going to live, maybe clear the area with a weed whacker, put them in, a little bit more care involved. So I don't really know exactly what
Of the rare things are just hard to get. I mean, it's just not an easy thing to come up with.
That's true too. And if he's looking for seed sources, then that's sort of another thing. But there are a lot of places out there that they specialize in more rare seeds. So especially with today's internet needs, you could get a lot of really neat stuff with a lot of connections without too hard of work.
Vox Pop on WAMC, Shelley in Cheshire. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good,
Shelley.
I have a problem. I have a peach tree, and I just noticed, went down to look and see there are certain limbs that are not leafed out, but others are very leafed out. But I noticed on one limb, an oozing like nectar. It looked like honey or so on the thing. And so I sawed off that limb and put it in a place where it wouldn't touch any other tree. And I just wanted to know what you might think it is.
Well, probably a borer. There's a couple of things. There are diseases that also attack peach plants, but if you see a relatively healthy plant and then you see an area where you have the sap ooze, which would look very much like the way that you described, kind of like a thick honey type substance, usually there's a borer in there eating and creating that. Do you
have there are some fungal diseases too, but you've done the right thing. Get it off of
get it out of the way.
Yep.
Keep an eye. Right. Keep monitoring.
And let me ask you, if you know, this is an Alberta peach. I would love to get another peach tree and a plum tree. So if you could give me a suggestion as to what to order and where is Fedco a good place to order?
I don't know that one in particular, but in terms of peaches, the best one in this area is Reliance. Peaches are
Reliance.
They're, you know, Alberta is marginally hardy here. You got to be careful with peaches because they're not fully winter hardy in some locations.
Yeah, but the Reliance does well.
Reliance does well.
In fact, I was amazed. Our neighbor has some, and amazed as to how nice the peaches look. I mean, like, wow.
You can get them most anywhere on those. They're everywhere.
Oh, great.
Yeah, in the
wonderful.
Spring, though. Not now,
and what about
spring.
Plums?
Yeah.
I had the Italian plums, those very dark, small plums.
You know, this, again.
And I had a disease on that tree, too. I had to get rid of the whole tree.
Any of
the stone fruits, whether it be peaches, cherries, plums, have more problems than pears and apples, for example. But the Stanley plum, the Stanley variety is a great plum, too.
Right.
That's a pretty hardy
Stanley,
one.
Is that what it's called?
Stanley, yep.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you so much, guys.
Thank you very much. An email from Steve in Westfield. Basically, he doesn't want to use fertilizer on his lawn, so he's wondering about composted cow manure.
It works for the farmers.
It's been working for a long time. Hard part is spreading it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, farmers used to use manure spreaders, and you don't do that on your lawn.
No,
but it's absolutely fine if you don't have too big an area. I mean, if you're doing 30 or 40,000 square feet and you're going out there with a shovel throwing it around, it's kind of
that's
going
to be tricky. Another angle would be to make a sort of a manure tea out of
tea,
it.
And
you kind of just, you know, you could even, you could actually strain it.
Or you could actually get dehydrated cow, too.
That's true, too. It spreads easier. Yep, and that makes it a lot easier to spread.
Or chicken, you get dehydrated chicken.
And there are other natural types of sources of nitrogen. So you just really want to look for nitrogen for that lawn. And he's not looking to use bagged fertilizer, but there are other options. Mm-hmm. But manure would work. It's just, you know, you may end up, if you're just using raw product, you're probably going to get some
more
seed.
Or corn gluten would be another.
Corn gluten would be another one.
Yep.
Let's talk to Nicole. Go ahead, Nicole.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I have a sun porch, which is heated all winter, and I have a 20-year-old jade that weighs over 150 pounds. It's about 3 feet wide and 4 feet high, and it got mealybugs over the winter.
Okay.
And I used alcohol, and I kind of kept them at bay, but I never got rid of them. And then the mealybugs spread to my Schefflera and my corn plant and almost all of the plants in the sun porch. Do I have to get rid of them all?
No. Mealybug can be controlled. I mean, you're doing a good thing when you go through and physically clean it off, but you can use a horticultural oil on that. It's the sort of thing that you're going to do routinely. You're not going to spray it once and be done with it. But an insecticidal soap or horticultural oil applied, you know, fairly routinely on all of those. It's not easy to get rid of mealy, but you can do it. Now, there are systemic insecticides that you can use, too, if you don't mind using a commercially prepared insecticide that you can put on the soil. But the oils and the soaps do really well with that.
Yeah, and hand picking, which is, you know, you certainly sounds like, but I go through and I've popped them all. And, you know, I've had big jades. I've also had these 150-pound jades over my life. And some of them I grew from little tiny cuttings and back when I was in college. So, you know, I know mealybug well.
You're not that old.
But it does take some persistence, boy, to get them because they are in all the little nooks and crannies. And if you are using a spray type thing like soap, it's definitely very important to get the undersides of the leaves, all parts of the leaves.
You're getting the adults when you go in there. And
that's right.
The babies are basically microscopic.
They are. So all the little cracks, nooks and crannies, and then hand pick off as many adults as you can. And
do both.
If you have any plants that don't have it in, maybe get them out of the area, sort of keep those in a quarantine zone.
Yeah, well, I brought them all outside
now. All right.
That helps because you got predators that outside eating the mealybugs.
Yep. Yeah. And they're not the hardest thing to get rid of, so that's a good thing. They're pretty easy to control if, like, we take the steps that we talked about.
Are the insecticidal soaps better than just plain alcohol?
I've had better luck personally.
But. Yeah, I think the alcohol just kind of cleans up the adults, and the soap will suffocate the young. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep. Good luck.
Thank you for calling Vox Pop on WAMC. Rachel in Kingston.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question about a really aggressive trumpet vine that has taken over the front. I'm screwed, aren't I?
Yeah, Fred's got the prescription for that.
Yeah, I mean, are you looking to get rid Are you looking to get rid of that trumpet vine, or you want to just cut it back?
Well, you know, this year I pruned it in the winter and early spring, trying to cut it back a bit. And I also cut it down at the end of the summer last year. We just lived at the house 2 years, so I'm just getting used to what it's doing.
Okay.
And I pruned it pretty aggressively, and it just flourished. And it's like popping up all over these flower beds and back into the garden. And it's coming up at the front wall that has flower beds behind it.
So it's very happy,
kind of just making its way back. And I thought, you know, this summer, after I saw it growing back just so aggressively, I just gave up and just let it bloom, because it's actually quite pretty too.
Yeah, it is a pretty vine.
It's clearly attacking our whole area.
Yeah, it may get to the point where you are not able to keep it, but there are a few things that you could do to try to keep it more at bay. If you're starting to see runners coming up everywhere, one thing you can do is there's root barriers. These are commercially made root barriers. You can also make your own. What you're trying to do is stop the root spread of that plant, which is going to stunt it. So you kind of think about a wall that you're going to build that's going to go down. It's only going to be a real thin piece of material. It's going to kind of go around the sides of this trumpet vine, and it's going to attempt to keep the roots sort of contained in that area so that they don't spread out, which means the tree will probably lose vigor, shrub or the vine will lose vigor, but of course that's what we're looking for. So that's one option.
Yeah.
If you are trying to get rid of it, you can get rid of it quite easily just by cutting it. But cutting it at the right time is the key. If you cut it at the wrong time of year, you'll see tons and tons more trumpet vine. If you cut it at the right time of year, you'll wear it out. Now, what is the right time? All the plants that we have around here that are deciduous are going to leaf out through stored energy. We were talking about that a little bit earlier in the show.
I heard,
So if you wait for that vine to kind of use all of its stored energy out, let it leaf out, and then as soon as it uses that stored energy, it's counting on those leaves to photosynthesize to keep giving it more energy, but don't let it. So let it use its stored energy and then cut it right at the ground level and cut every single part of that plant that you see, any little shoots, any little runners.
So probably May, you're thinking, is when you really want to go in and whack it hard.
You got it, right down. And then what'll usually happen, and this is a good way to control any plant that's really in an unwanted space, and it works really well for sumac, it works really well for poison ivy, and it certainly would work for a trumpet vine. And, you know, you're going to see a little bit of a regrowth occur naturally, because it'll be a little bit leftover stored energy. And let it go through again, put out leaves, cut it back again. You might have to do that two or three times in the spring, but after the third cut, it won't have any stored energy, and it will go away. No sprays, sprays required. But if you cut it like now or even in the fall, it's not necessarily going to. It's right now. Plants are storing energy for upcoming winter, so they start right now. In fact, any of the even mature trees that you want to give an extra boost to make it through the winter, we want to encourage watering right now, because everything is storing to gear up towards next year's growth. So if you cut them now or even later in the fall, there's a lot of stored energy in the roots, and it's not going to go away. But that springtime, like Bob said, maybe around May, boom, you're definitely going to be able to wear it down pretty easily.
Thank you very much. Time for one more call. Liz in Albany, just about a minute left. Go ahead.
Hi. I have about 3 tomato plants in a pot, and they're getting really tall, and I'm wondering if I need to repot them for more room for the roots.
Yeah, tomatoes take up a lot of space in a pot, so I definitely would consider repotting that. 3 in a pot is a lot anyway, so get it in another bigger pot. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, and I don't have a lot of luck transplanting my plants, so is there anything in particular I need to do? I'm using Miracle-Gro for vegetables?
Yeah, just a good potting soil will be fine. Be careful when you repot them not to overwater them too much because they're going to stay wet longer once you repot them.
Yeah, until it roots into the new media.
Yep.
And, you know, don't break the ball apart with tomatoes. And you could even plant them a little deep, and with tomatoes it's okay.
All right.
So, you know, just keep the integrity of the ball and don't overwater, like Bob said. I think you're in good shape.
And I don't need to trim the roots or anything?
No.
No, not for a tomato plant. Nope.
Thank you very much. We are just about out of time. In fact, we are out of time for our gardening program today on Vox Pop. I'd like to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those we left on the line. Also, our guests for joining us, Bob Graves and Fred Bregliup. Thanks again for joining us today. Our engineer, Zach Malloy, Deb Malik for answering the phones, producer Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream in Thorns Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harrells.com. ClipCentric in Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.ClipCentric.com. NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. And Hadley Garden Center in Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned for 50 years, offering annuals, perennials, nursery stock, organic fertilizer, and advice, HadleyGardenCenter.com. I'm Brian Shields. Tomorrow it's Food Friday. Stay tuned now for a news update.